Happy Wednesday, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by the good folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like DVC by D-Point. D-Point is a mobile resource for Disney Vacation Club owners. Just released, version 4.0 has a redesigned interface and great new features designed to make planning your next DVC vacation easier than ever. Here's a great feature. It's the point calculator. Tap a resort name to reveal the room types for that resort and select one. Tap your arrival and departure dates in the handy calendar view and tap done. In less than 20 seconds, you can determine the cost for a studio room. Magic Kingdom view from August 2nd through August 8th is 154 points. It's that simple, and you can plan the next DVC stay. Check out these and other great iPhone apps over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 821 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMilesRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. And yes, we threw you off on Monday by answering your listener questions. And guess what? We're going to do it again today. But we have everybody here. It's not just Ricky and I. And, the inbox is, expanding, we could say. And we love that. We love getting questions to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And we're going to answer those and talk about all kinds of different Disney stuff today and have a good time. So hopefully you're doing well wherever you are. And let's get the ladies introduced and get to your questions and comments. So joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, she's a blogger over at touringplans.com, and she puts out the awesome e-newsletter that's called Magically Speaking, which you need in your inbox every couple of weeks. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, guys. Not a lot. It's just gross and cold and wet here, so I'm not happy. At least it's not snow. Woo!
I know.
Not snow.
We were talking about snow on the live show on Sunday night, and we got it here in St. Louis, but we didn't get enough, I don't think, for any snow days. I know. It stinks. We were already off on Monday, so what a waste of snow.
What are you going to do?
I know. Just cross my fingers that it'll, we still got a couple, got a good month and a half of potential snow days left. So we'll see.
That's true.
All right. Also joining us from MakingMagicAndMemories.com, we have Debbie. Happy midweek, Deb.
Hey, happy midweek. Happy midweek, everybody. It's those big words that get me every time.
It's the hyphenated words that get you every time.
That's it. That just throws me. I think I'm just because I'm just so sad that everybody gets to get to drink hot cocoa with marshmallows for a good reason.
Yeah, you can still do that in Florida.
But 30 degrees, we're supposed to get down to the 30s compared to snow. I mean, send me some snow. Guys, don't be so selfish.
All right. Okay. Well, here we go. Also, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester, where I believe...
Pam's got snow!
I'm packing up the truck full right
She's taking
now.
Care of that right now. That's what I was going to say. The truck is loaded.
I'm going to bottle up a crap load of this cold weather, too. So I will ship it all down to you when you open it up. It'll be like, the inside of your nose gets frozen.
I can just see Pam. I've got this visual image of this big box truck filled with snow. She's got this little hat on, and she's just so determined behind the wheel going, oh, you want snow, Deb? I'm bringing it on.
Yeah. I'm going to dump it on you.
Yeah, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've experienced below zero temperatures in the last week.
Oh,
my hands
man.
Up. There you go.
It's brutal here right now, seriously. It's like this kind of weather is like the kind of weather where you're stuck inside and you completely think to yourself every moment of every day, why do I live here?
No doubt.
See if you guys heard Florida, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's where Pam lives. There's like, it's all white.
That's it. All right, we're going to get to the questions. Hopefully they'll warm us up today, because we could sure use it here in the dead of winter. I don't think it can get much worse. So we're starting off with Diane Butler's question. It says, hello to the wonderful BOGP team. Following along with the BOGP Lizards Marathon Weekend's adventures has inspired me to finally stop being a chicken, join the Lizards, and begin preparing for my first official Run Disney race. which has been on my Disney bucket list for years. Now all I have to do is pick a race, get off the couch, and learn to like running. So no problem there. Right? All right, well, you're on the... That's right. Yeah. Well, but I like small steps. Okay, first question. Our first question is this. Do you all have any suggestions on which race I should pick as a first timer? I would love to complete the run in 2015, but would be open to a 2016 race as well. I'm thinking of trying for a 10K. Being as I will be training, running, and likely traveling solo, I would love to participate in a race that would have a large lizard showing and perhaps some meetups so that I can make some new BOGP friends in the process. Originally, I had been thinking of joining the BOGP team for Epic October in 2015 and giving the Tower of Terror 10-miler a shot. But of course, that plan was foiled by the deletion of the 10-miler weekend. My second question is this. Is Epic October still on the table even without the Tower of Terror 10-miler? It looks like I might only get one trip to Walt Disney World in 2015 and would love to schedule it so that I could attend some of the BOGP events. If Epic October is still happening in 2015, perhaps I will postpone the run to a 2016 date so that I can participate in Epic October. Thank you all for the obvious dedication to the podcast and the BOGP family. Your positivity and enthusiasm makes BOGP my favorite Disney podcast. Keep up the fantastic work. First of all, Diana, thanks for the great work, and I love that you're, you know, getting into the running thing, because that's how it all started for every one of us. I mean, I was the exact same way. I didn't like it, but now it's like I'm obsessed with it. So it's kind of a strange journey. So let's address kind of the second part of the question first. We are obviously not going to have the Tower of Terror 10-miler, which tended over the past few years to coincide with Epic October. And I know I've been getting tons of questions about this on social media, emails, and so forth. And we've been really, you know, trying to think about the best course of action to go with Epic October this year. And we are, for 1 year, just because we have so many runners now and it's a great time to get together, we are going to move it over to the Wine and Dine weekends. We'll have some podcast events that weekend and along with the race. So the Lizards will be represented at Wine and Dine, which I believe is November 7th, that Saturday night.
6th and 7th is that weekend.
That weekend. Okay, so we'll do it that weekend for Epic October. So we'll have some meetups and so forth, you know, over Saturday and Sunday. Also, though, we are going to have meets. Don't forget, we're having the podcast cruise in July. The podcast cruise is from July 10th to the 15th. And we're also going to have some land-based podcast meetups after the cruise. So they're going to take, and we'll have some informal ones before the cruise for people that are there, because I'll be there before the cruise. But I'll also be there for a little bit after. So we'll have some probably on the, you know, maybe the 15th, 16th, 17th of July. So you can plan on if you're down at Walt Disney World then. We'll have some events going on then and some informal type stuff before the cruise for folks that are arriving a few days early too. So we'll have some meetups in the summer. We'll have some meetups in the fall. We'll do some running. Now to her question about a 10K race being her first race, you know, Wine and Dine, I think, is going to be a little bit crazy this year, because without Tower of Terror, everybody's kind of defaulting to that race. Yeah. And I think it's going to be really hard to get into. I mean, I think you better be on your computer right away, because that thing's going to fill up like in lightning speed, because you did have two races. Now you have one. But I wouldn't be so shy. And I know it's the big weekend and it's kind of nutty, but there's nothing like marathon weekend, and they have a 10K, and there's going to be so many of us down there that you're going to have support. You're going to get lots of meetups. So if you could hold off to January, it gives you more time to train. Ricky, I know you ran that 10K and it was your first, you know, run Disney 10K. So, I mean, what do you think is as far as like somebody that's not done this a lot, having that as their first race?
I think it's a very good goal. Actually, that's what I would absolutely do if I were her, for someone who, you know, likes the couch a lot more as of right now, which just was me at that point. So I would absolutely go for the 10K. If you really wanted to come down for the Wine and Dine race, there is the 5K, which is a good race. It's the Jingle something 5K. It takes place in Animal Kingdom or around Animal Kingdom. I know that. But if Edward in her shoes, I would do what you had suggested, Mike, and I would actually wait and do the 10K for marathon weekend. I think that marathon weekend is there's so many, I mean, yes, there are a lot of people down there, but I think that for both, actually, but I just think that that's going to be more her speed. You know, it gives her a challenge, and not that a 5K is not a challenge. Trust me, I know it's I know it's a challenge. But if she's already thinking that she can potentially handle a 10K, then I say go with that. So that's what I would do, and that's the only there are no 10Ks left after Princess, which is this coming weekend.
Yeah,
so I don't think there are any other 10Ks at Walt Disney World that are left. So she either has the option of, doing Wine and Dine a half or the 5K, or waiting until January to do the 10K for Marathon Weekend.
And I think there's just something about Marathon Weekend, because I had missed it for the last few years because I had gone to the 10 miler for my fall race and, you know, wasn't really running that seriously. But when you go down there, even if you're a first-time runner, everybody's so encouraging, and just the camaraderie of everybody, especially with our podcast running squad, the Lizards. Everybody picks each other up. You see the lime green shirts on the course or around the parks, and it's really something to be experienced. So I would not be shy about making that your first race, because, you know, the 5 and the 10K are going to be a lot of folks that either they're doing a challenge and they're just kind of chilling and taking it easy, and they're there to kind of build up the first-time runners. You know, like, I love seeing first-time runners and being able to kind of talk to them, because it was only a few years ago that was me. And there's, you know, I think that's how everybody is. So I would definitely, you know, think about my suggestion would be Marathon Weekend 2016, because you're going to have a lot of support, lots of friends. We're going to have lots of podcast meetups, and I think it'll fit exactly what you're looking for.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's get to the next question. I'm glad you're going to be a Lizard there, Diane. Can't wait to run with you. Let me get to the questions here. Push the wrong button here. Okay, here we go. This one's called Hoopty Doos. Here we go. Mike and the gang. You guys are the gang, and I'm Mike, apparently.
I think so.
Just like, I could be cool. Anyway, we're just not that cool. All right, we've never been to Hoopty Doo and are seriously considering it for our upcoming 2015 trip. Since you all just went during Marathon Weekend and the experience is fresh on your minds, would you mind sharing a little bit about it? Like tips, likes, and dislikes. Your friend Kathy Gladden, and she is from some crazy state called Georgia.
Ooh.
I know.
Seems like a good state there.
It does. I know every bit of it going to Florida, at least the 75 portion. Anyway, so hoop-de-doo. So I just went there with Mary Jo and Mike Bankhead and their families and friends, and we had a great time. So this is one that you're going to want to book up early, because there's different seatings. It's a show. It's a dinner show, I should say. So you get a nice dinner. It's family style, so it's all you can eat. They bring out just plates full and buckets full of, like, fried chicken and potatoes. It's that homey type food, kind of like you get at Trails End. Awesome strawberry shortcake at the end. I will say that our waiter forgot to bring the spoons and forks this time. So we were staring at our strawberry shortcake forever before we...
That's so hard.
Oh, it's brutal.
That's like me.
Oh, I just run a marathon.
I would just dive in.
I almost did. I mean, I just run a marathon. I was ready to just stick my face in the thing. I didn't care, but I didn't want to be rude for Mike. Mike's so polite and his family. But So anyway, there's this... for those that don't know, like, I'm from Missouri, and we have Branson down in the southwest corner of the state. And I think this show, and I've never been to Branson, let me just say, but I've seen lots of commercials and heard lots of stories. But it seems like a Branson-type show, where it's like, you know, kind of Old West, like a saloon-type show, very family-friendly. They get out into the crowd and recognize anniversaries and birthdays and sing to you, and the waiters and waitresses become a part of the show as they bring out the food. It's kind of like a cruise line thing, now that I think about it, in a way, with the waiters and waitresses kind of doing some part of the show. They just do some kicks. They don't do a whole lot. They're not like the leads in the thing anyway. But, you know, there's different seating you can get there, tiered seating. Obviously, it's a little bit more expensive to be closer to the stage and on the floor, and there's a balcony where it's least expensive. But I would say any seat in the house is fine. The food's all the same. Pam, I know you've been there before, so anything you could help Kathy out with Hoop-de-doo?
I think the thing to remember about Hoop-de-doo is that it is a corny good time.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And if you do not appreciate that kind of musical theater, you will not enjoy yourself here. It's not highbrow entertainment. It is just fun. And the food, I think, is just regular good food. I think it's food that most people will really enjoy. You know, like Mike said, fried chicken and ribs and corn on the cob and strawberry shortcake. Hello. So, you know, we're not talking highbrow entertainment here, but I think, you know, you walk into that and you walk out knowing that you were truly entertained. And I think for sure it's the best dinner show at Disney World. I think have a good time, go into it with the right attitude. They do the pictures and, I think that's a good family memory there if you can get everyone into it. So
yeah, it's something we talk about. Besides when we did a marathon weekend, we still talk about the time we went way back when Mallory was just like teeny. I mean, she was like maybe one. It's a cute, great picture because you got the red and white checked tablecloths and stuff like
yes,
that.
I mean, I have one of those with hand too.
Very cool. Now, Debbie, have you ever been over to Hoop-Dee-Doo?
That is one of the few places I have not eaten, but I look forward to it. That sounds like a fun, fun place. And everyone that I know that's gone, it's just they love it. They think it is so cool.
I think it's right up your alley. I mean, you're from Texas, and, it's at homey food that, I think, Southerners and Texans probably, with the ribs and potatoes and stuff. I think it'd be right up your alley, besides the Tex-Mex.
And right. we would have to remember to bring our own spoons in case if they forget that first. Or
yes.
Okay.
Oh, that guy was killing me. That guy was killing me because the thing was, ours was sitting there and, everybody around you is just tearing it up. All the other tables are like, and I'm just thinking, I don't want to be the first person to, hey, man, I need a spoon. But, so hungry.
I've been all over that. I want a spoon.
I can't remember who it was. I think Mike was nice and got the guy's attention. Anyway, thanks for the question question there, Kathy, and hope you have a good time over at Hoop-Dee-Doo. All right, next question is titled First Time at a Moderate. It's from Michael Schaefer from Michigan. He says, hi, Mike and crew. First of all, congrats to you and Ricky and on each of your Run Disney accomplishments.
Thank you.
I know. It's awesome. Thank you. We are currently in the pre-plan phase of our Disney planning. We'll be heading down from Michigan in the beginning of October. There will be a few firsts for us this trip. We'll be driving this time. We have always flown. We'll be staying at a moderate. We've only stayed at values. And we'll be having our offspring with us for this first trip. Howard will be about 18 months old at the time of the trip. We are currently leaning towards Port Orleans Riverside, but would like to hear arguments for the other moderates. Also, I would like to hear any tips about traveling and doing Walt Disney World with a little one. Thanks a lot. I'm hoping our trip will fall during Epic Octobers. See, we want to make it for everybody, but it just never works. Sorry, Mike. We'll be there in November this year. Blame Disney because of all the construction and
absolutely,
the cancellation.
But that hasn't been announced. Shh, there's no construction happening.
Well, they canceled our race. Talk to Run Disney.
That's right.
First of all, you're going to have a great time. And we've done a lot of shows on traveling with youngsters and stuff like that. So just look back in the archives. Really, at that age, 18 months, are they walking? Yeah, they're walking by then. Definitely.
It's nice of you to remember, Mike.
I don't remember what age all this stuff happened. It's a blur. She's already, 7. But as they get older, they get more headstrong. So just enjoy this trip. It's going to be fine. And just take tons and tons of pictures. Just like, I just said at Hoop-Dee-Doo, that's one of our favorite pictures. And Mallory was about this age. And, I think she had transitioned over to table food, which was much easier than trying to, when they're infants and you got to worry about the bottles and all that stuff. That's kind of a pain. But, then they sleep a lot. So that's kind of nice. But again, with sleeping, take naps. When they take naps, that'll help everybody. But let's get to the he wants to stay at a moderate. He's leaning towards Riverside. And I've said in the last year, Riverside is my overall favorite Walt Disney World resort right now. I think it has everything. It's got great theming. It's got two different kinds of rooms, Alligator Bayou, the mansions. I prefer the mansions. It's got good entertainment at night with Yeehaw Bob, boat transportation to downtown Disney. It's a great place to run. It's got proximity to the parks. I think it's not too bad. I just think it really has kind of everything. So we have Coronado Springs, Caribbean Beach, and French Quarter. So, Pam, could you argue for any of those three to be considered over Riverside?
Gosh.
Maya Grill?
I will say each moderate has some great pros and cons. So I think that's something to think about. I will say, first of all, Caribbean Beach is just in the middle of getting rehabs. They're getting queen beds in all the rooms except for the pirate room. I think the Caribbean Beach has a fantastic theme. It really transports you and makes you feel like you're on vacation. Palm trees, tropical, what more do you need? Like, that's in my dreams right now, all the time, especially this time of year. So that's a good option. The complaint I hear about that sometimes is that it's a big resort, which to me is never really an issue, but I know it is for some. So something to think about. I feel the same way about Coronado, that it has a really great theme. I like their main pool really well. I think that it has something that other pools don't. The Port Orleans Riverside, one of the two complaints really, or the main complaint I have with those resorts is I think they're both beautiful. I think they have lots of things. I don't think their main pool area is big enough in either side, French Quarter or Riverside. I think it just gets really busy. And I don't feel that way quite as much at Caribbean Beach and Coronado. Again, though, there are big pluses for Riverside and French Quarter. I think French Quarter is the perfect resort if it's really important for you to be at a small resort. There aren't that many buildings. You'll never be that far from the main building. So that's something to think about. But Riverside is right next door, and you do have access to those amenities at Riverside, too. They're sister resorts. They share the resorts. So the one time that you can actually, quote, pool hop when you're staying at Disney. So something to think of there. Riverside has really grown on me, I will say, the past maybe 2 years. I know when we first started the podcast, it was the one that I would say is my least favorite. Now I won't say that. I won't say that I have a least favorite moderate. I kind of like them all equally. They're like my children, sort of. I can't pick one over the other because they all have good things. But they all have some pluses there, and I hope that we gave you at least something to think about and made the decision harder, probably.
Well, you know what?
They're never really helpful in these instances.
You bring up some good points, though, for the Port Orleans resorts, because like they share, so you have double kind of options there. And also, one other thing to think about for French Quarter is that there's one bus stop. And so when you're traveling with a stroller, you know, that may be easier. And especially, I always tell people, if you go to French Quarter, recommend Building 5, even if you don't have a preferred room, because half of that building facing the pool is a more expensive view, but the backside of that building is standard view. And so if you could put a Building 5 request on the standard side, if you want to go standard to save a little bit of money, that's a great place, because you're centrally located within the resort, and the way the resort's laid out, you're kind of more to the side where that bus stop is. You can kind of cut through a couple buildings and whoop, you're right there. So it's a lot less walking. And I know that's a big deal when you're, you know, carrying, you know, baby stuff and bags and strollers and stuff. So
absolutely.
Something to think about. So let me ask you this, Debbie. Say you get a weekend at Walt Disney World. You got to stay at a moderate. Money's not an option. They're all costing the exact same thing. Which one would you pick?
You know, I would honestly pick, because I have not stayed at the Riverside. And I think I would try that one, because that's one of the ones I have not stayed in. And I hear so much about it. And I just think that it would be such a cool experience. Or, the Port Orleans French Quarter, too. Both of those. I think they both, because I have not stayed either one, I would really think that would be fun to try those out. Because they've got such unique characters to each one.
They do, and they're both beautiful. I mean, they're especially when you go down the river and see both these resorts from the river, they're even more stunning. So make sure you take a boat.
Yes, yes. The big overhang trees, just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Ricky, what about you?
You know, what's really on my bucket list is actually Coronado Springs. I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that I lived in New Mexico for a while, but it just really appeals to me right now, and I really like the Pepper Market. I think it's a fantastic food court. And, I know it's a convention hotel, but, I mean,
why
I guess
does
it doesn't
bother people.
It doesn't bother me. I don't understand. Maybe because I like go to conventions, hotels all the time, because, you know, Hyatts are convention hotels. So typically, so I have no problem with conventioners. I mean, you know, I'm on vacation.
I know that's how I look at it.
Doing.
You sucker. You have on a suit.
Right?
I'm in my swimming
like
trunks.
Evil person. enjoy your conference. I'm going to go to the theme parks.
That's how I feel too.
I don't care that they're at a convention. It doesn't.
Y'all have a
me.
Very dark side that's coming out right now.
That should be our next podcast, The Dark Side of the
Yeah, I know. That would be a very bad podcast.
We should have done that on Friday the 13th before Valentine's.
We have to remember this.
There's a lot of Friday the 13th this year. So
oh, great. Wonderful. Put it in the Google Doc. All right. Well, so hopefully we got your question there. You know, you really can't go wrong. I mean, it's just look at the theme that you think fits you best. But French Quarter is... The selling point for French Quarter is the smallness and the one bus stop, but you can't go wrong. I mean, you're right. I mean, Pam said, you know, Caribbean Beach is beautiful. I just stayed there. It's gorgeous, but it's big. I mean, if you get in the pirate rooms, if you get down in Trinidad South, man, you're closer to Pop Century than you are the soda machine. So I'm just
no,
you know,
kidding.
There's pluses and minuses.
Yeah, stay there before. Absolutely, Mike, you're right. That is way back there.
But it's fine. I mean, if you have a car, it's not a big deal. But, you know, I decided to hoof it just because I was like going to try to get steps on my Fitbit. And I got steps on my Fitbit. Let me just say that.
So. Well, let me tell you, there was this one tree. It's really a cool looking tree. I've never seen any tree like this. And that was the one tree that I knew if I found it, I would know where my room would be. Because you get turned around at times. And I love that resort. But it was so funny. It's like, I know I took a left or is it a right to go down this to the bus? Where do I go? Oh, there's my tree. I know where I'm supposed to go now. So I was always looking for that one little tree. So if Disney chopped it down, I'd be in such trouble.
And this is just a PSA for our new listeners. There is signage and there are numbers on the buildings. Yes, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing.
But that's not fun. They have to look out by the trees.
That's it. All right. Next question comes from Joel Arthurs. And he says, hi, Mike, Ricky, Debbie, and Pam. We've been weighing the pros and cons of buying DVC. Although the idea of regular Disney trips is very appealing, as Canadians, we are concerned about any potential tax implications. I'm already aware that the IRS will collect a generous percentage of any income we receive from selling any points in the future. I'm more concerned about any annual tax implications that we should be aware of. If you don't have the answer, perhaps a well-informed listener can offer some insight. Thanks. And Joel is in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. So Pam, you know, besides, I know that you should probably, let's just preface this by you should contact your tax professional.
Yeah, seriously, I have a bookkeeper and a CPA accounting team. I am so unqualified to answer any kind of tax question. I just really, I'm horrible at it. I wouldn't trust anything I said in this respect. So I really, truly, truly don't know.
Yeah, so I would just say, you know, and if anybody wants to just, you know, write in with some generalities as far as, you know, what you need to think of before you buy into DVC, especially as a Canadian, if you're a Canadian that owns DVC, let us know. Because, again, we don't want to go down that road just because we don't
know.
We're
not that good.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I'm a teacher, man. I don't go higher than elementary school when it comes to math. So, all right, next question, and it comes from Mike from New York. Very good. And it just says in the email, Park Beast. I like that, man. Cool. Nice. Hey, BOGP crew, my fiance and I are planning a Disney honeymoon, including a cruise, and need some transportation advice. We like the Disney-provided transportation and will be using the Magical Express to arrive at our resort and spend around 5 days in the parks. When it's time for the cruise, what are our options in getting to Port Canaveral? And to make things even trickier, when the cruise is over, I'd like to head back to the parks for one more afternoon before taking a late flight back home out of MCO. Is this even feasible given travel times between destinations? I would guess renting a car at the port would be the best way to go about this. Are there rental companies that will allow me to pick up at Port Canaveral and return the car to MCO? If so, what are your favorites? Thanks for all of the excellent trip planning advice. All right, so I like this idea, though, the land and sea, the old land and sea combo, which Disney Cruise Line really used to market like in the early 2000s, which I still think is the best way to do it. You know, I think you got to have a couple days on land to really kind of, especially if you're listening to this show, because right. You're just like, oh, my gosh, I'm in Florida. I'm so close. And just for travel times, Mike, you can know it's about 45 minutes at the most between Walt Disney World and Port Canaveral. It's not very far. I think it's about 38, 39 miles, but, you know, depending on the time of day, the traffic can be a little bit tough, but usually not because you're on the 528 just straight shot over. You're right. You can use Magical Express to get from the airport to your Walt Disney World Resort. And then if you like, you can take what Disney Cruise Line offers are the ground transfers, which is just like Magical Express. But unfortunately, it's not free like Magical Express is. It's $35 currently right now. It's $35 a person per leg. So $70 a person round trip. And they'll pick you up from either the airport or Walt Disney World, a Walt Disney World resort, and take you to Port Canaveral and do the opposite on the way back. So you might want to do that for one way from your Walt Disney World resort over to Port Canaveral. Get on the ship, have your great cruise. And then as far as coming back for that afternoon, they could get you back because you can probably be off the ship by 9 o'clock in the morning. You could use the one way transfers. They would probably get you back to Walt Disney World by.
Get your luggage.
Yeah. And plus, you don't have a room reservation. So you're going to have to get maybe a taxi or something after that because you're not going to have Magical Express because you're not going to have a room. You're right. You're not going to be where to put your luggage either. What would you say, Pam? Maybe just rent a car and keep everything in there?
Yeah, that's it. Because then at least you have a place to store your luggage. you know, and your flight's going to have to be pretty late that night for you to really be able to take advantage of your day there, because you can get off the ship fairly early. It's just that if there's ever a problem in terms of customs, which is rarely the case, but it's something, just don't plan on it, you know, to be out there. But you should be able to get back to Disney pretty early. So with my little warning there. But there are some rental car companies in the area. There's an Avis and a Budget. I think maybe a Hertz or something else, but the Avis and the Budget are the ones that I hear most talk about. Enterprise too, because I think they'll come and pick you up, but those are some things to think about. And all of those would be able to drop off at the you know, at the airport too. The thing to think about is you have to make sure that where you're dropping it off is has a location at the airport, because that will be most convenient. Some are a little off-site there, but those are the two things to think about. But I would do a rental car. I really would, if I wanted to be there for the day.
Yeah, it's going to give you the, because it puts more things in your hands, and you want to be efficient, because that day, I mean, an hour is a big deal, because you're thinking, you know, an hour is like, you know, 10% of your awake time that day. You got to break it down to like that kind of stuff. So good luck with that. But take those ground transfers from Disney Cruise Line. Very, very easy way to get from your resort over to Port Canaveral. And, you know, they take care of you just like they, you know, like Disney does. You know, you're not going to miss the ship. You can relax. You can see a little video about the cruise, and bam, you crest the hill, you see the ship, and you are going on your cruise. It's amazing. All right. Next question comes from Ricky Niblett, and actually it comes from Craig F. from our Facebook group, I'm assuming, whenever it's for Ricky. And he says, my family and I are planning to add a second Disney trip to our annual plans. 7 nights with 5 park days in February. 7 nights with 5 park days in September. And as I sit here calculating the costs, I'm wondering, at what point does it make sense to purchase annual passes? All right, so he has two trips, 7 nights each. Looks like he has 5 days in the parks and then 10 days in the parks. So he's right on that cusp, really, of making that annual pass work. Because if you make those Magic Your Way tickets into an annual pass, you can hopefully later on in the year, most times of the year, you can get an annual pass discount on the room. And even if you want to add dining, you can do a room plus dine without tickets. You can do that. The only caveat I would have to this, because he says he's traveling in September. Uh-huh. This is the only, like, if you'd have said, like, over Christmas, I would have said, get those annual passes. here's the deal. And it's been, like, spreading. It was kind of like embers about a couple of weeks ago. And somebody has gone to these embers, and all of a sudden, like, people are asking about free dining again. What's up? Yep. It's like, it's catching on again, people. It's spreading like the measles at Disneyland. Anyway, I shouldn't have said that. I know. Anyway, I got my shot, so I'm good.
Your dark side coming
That's up. It. I'm sorry. So he's traveling in September for the second trip, and that's the only thing that kind of has me a little worried, because you may want to have a package that qualifies for free dining or some, you know, discount that requires a Magic Your Way ticket. Pam, are you kind of on the same train of thought?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing that you always have to think of. When you're on the cusp, one of the things you really need to think of is, do you usually really benefit from one of the discounts that's available? And what happens is, annual pass holders and Florida residents are kind of the last ones to get the discounts available to them. And it does make a difference. For instance, you know, in the spring, we have a discount that goes through, you know, part of June that's available to book. Now, the annual pass holder discount for June won't come out till much, much later. And basically what you get at that point is what's left over. It's not because Disney doesn't value the annual pass holders. It's just that that's what happens. Think of it as like, you know, a clearance event. I always say, like, especially like bathing suit season. Hello, ladies. At the beginning of bathing suit season, which is like now,
right?
There's 8 million bathing suits, right? I mean, you know.
But I don't want to try on a bathing suit now.
I know, but they're size and color and they're full price. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to pay that much for a bathing suit.
Exactly.
And then in a couple months, they'll be like 15-25% off, and then a little bit after that they'll be 40% off. But guess what's left at the 40% off?
Right. Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, there's just not as many things left. So all things to consider, you know, the type of rooms that you like, that makes a difference. The resort type, some resorts are just more popular than others. Some resorts aren't available for any discount, the room type. So all things to think of. You know, don't drive yourself crazy. I think that's one thing that people do a little bit. Like, could I have saved 35 cents if I did it this way? Then they spent 5 days thinking about it, and then, you know, they've wasted that much time. But, you know, great things to be thinking about. You gotta, you know what you need to do? You need to add in one more trip, and then
that's
we're gonna
it.
Say,
that's what
definitely.
She said.
There you go.
Yeah, you're done. Just, yeah, you get the annual
shopping
pass.
10% off. I mean, come on.
Well, that too, and you know what? I know he's going two times, but I don't know what 2016 holds. But if he had something happening, say in a busy time, say like Easter of 2016 or something, well, then you get you upgrade your Magic Your Way ticket on the September trip to an annual pass, and then enjoy those savings over the next year, you know, or something along those lines. Really, you're not. I think we're fine either way, but. You know, you may want to try to get free dining or something like that that has a ticket with it. All right, last question today comes from listener Sarah, and Ricky sent this one over from Facebook, and she says, we will be in Disney World this coming March and really, really want our 5-year-old son to be able to participate in the Jedi Training Academy. We hear there is no guarantee that they will get to do it. Kind of a first-come, first-served thing. Could you please explain to me how this works and any tips or tricks to getting him in? Thank you, Sarah M. So, Ricky, what do you think? Sarah wants her son to be, he's 5 years old. Is he old enough?
Yeah, I think he has to be 4.
Okay, so he wants to be a Jedi, and he wants to be up there and take on Darth over there next to where I get my great buffalo chicken nuggets at the Backlot Express. Yes. At least for now. It could move sometime, but I think it's a really cool thing. Actually, Mallory has asked me more than once to do this summer, so I'm going to be doing the same thing Sarah's doing. So help me, Obi-Wan, Ricky. You're my only hope.
Is that a Star Wars reference?
No, I'm just joking. God. I know.
It's a Star Wars reference. I know. Okay. Don't send your letters. I get it. Okay. So, basically, you want to get to the park early. First thing, especially depending on what time, which she's going in March.
It's actually May the 4th. No, just kidding. It's March. I was just playing
that
with
to
you.
Me? Okay. So, yeah. So, she's going in March. So, it can be busy with, you know, depending on spring breaks for people. So, she wants to get to the park early. She needs to go to, I believe it's where Sounds Dangerous was, it's the ABC Sound Studio now. It was right next to American Idol Experience, which is no longer there either. So it's right in that area to sign up. You need your child with you, so make sure you bring them with you in order to sign up, because that is going to be imperative. They're going to give you they'll let you choose a time, or depending on what's left, they'll give you a time. You know, it just depends on how things shake out.
It's kind of like the bathing suit analogy with the annual pass.
Right, exactly. So so you'll have that. And then that's pretty much it. Signups are first come, first serve. So if you don't get there and they're out for the day, they're out for the day. So that's pretty much it. And I know you need to show up a little bit early for... If you actually do get in, you need to show up a little bit early. I think about 20 minutes before the show starts.
Asked, does it help if my son is in a robe? No, she didn't ask that. She didn't ask that. I'm just playing.
I was going to say, do they give the kids, do they let the kids wear robes?
Yes, they
I think. Do. No. Like, don't they give them robes to wear?
Yes, they do. I was just joking. I was picturing
him. I know you were joking, but after you said it, then I was like, I think they wear robes. So anyway.
No, I'm thinking, picture the kid arriving.
I'm not having children. I have not signed them up for this. But I have seen the show, and it's a fantastically cute show. So, at the very least, you know, go watch it. But I hope he gets picked, and I hope he gets to partake in it, because it's a really fun show. But I think the key there is to get there early. Like, get to the parks before they open and get him signed up, because otherwise I think you're going to be out of luck.
That's right. Just get there early and give it the best shot you can. I think you'll be fine.
And have him with you, because you have to produce the child.
Also have him in a robe.
Exactly.
So, all right, well, that's going to do it for today's episode. We appreciate your questions and comments. They're always so much fun. I love these shows. They're just a blast. Who knows we're going to answer? And, you know, it could be about robes, bathing suit, annual pass discounts. Who knows? That's why we need you to keep you sending your questions.
Random.
I know. To mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll answer yours and have a discussion about it right away here on the show. Today's episode, as always, here on a Wednesday, brought to you by the good folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style, and right now I just cracked open my iPhone 6 Plus, and I'm looking at my home screen. There are 142 days until the BR Guest Podcast cruise, because I have it set there, because that's exact. I want to know I'm walking on that ship in 142 days. Every day at 2:05, I get the auditory alarm, because the kids leave at 1:50, so I give them, you know, 15 minutes clear out, and then I'm like, oh, and then that little heart plays, and I'm even happier. I'm like, oh, man, a day closer to the cruise. So you need to do this as well. It makes you excited to get you ready for that next trip. So drop by virtualmickey.com, and also leave a great review for them over in iTunes and help other people discover their awesome Disney apps. Again, virtualmickey.com. Ricky, we have a new Facebook group for the podcast cruisers, mentioning the podcast cruise coming up in 142 days. And we want to get some buzz. We want to start talking to each other, because
it's
going to be time to cruise here, people, soon. July is going to be here before you know it.
Oh, so we set
up. That's it. Yeah. And we set up a group on Facebook so we can interact daily, hourly, however much you want. So, Ricky, how can people join the Facebook group where we can start talking fish extenders and meals and late night meetups, you know, with pizza and hot dogs and burgers and all that stuff?
Yes. Okay. So to join the Facebook group, you will need to search BR Guest Podcast Cruise 3.0 Cruisers. If you have trouble finding it for some reason, because I did change it from open to close, or reverse that, from close to open. So if you have trouble finding it, just send me a message on Facebook and I will add you to the group. Just a heads up, it will become closed at some point, just so that, you know, people can feel comfortable to chat with each other and not worry about everybody and their brother seeing everything. So, but that'll be in March when we close it. So, probably around the live show or so. So, join the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruisers group on Facebook so that we can chat and get to know you. And me and Florence are working on the fish extenders. I think Florence is going to helm it, but I'm not 100% sure. I think we either may co-share it or she'll do it. We're still working out the details, but one of us is going to be in charge of the fish extenders. And so we'll get that information up here soon as well, if it's not already up, depending on when, you know, me and Florence get talking this week. So, so go join the Facebook page for the cruise.
So one more time, what do you search?
You search for BR Guest Podcast Cruise 3.0 Cruisers. Or you message me, Ricky Niblett, on Facebook.
All right. Sounds great. And definitely put up some pictures. Well, I'll try to get some of mine up from the first two cruises, just so you can kind of see what's in store. Lots of stuff.
Absolutely.
And also, there's a couple of great videos at brguestpodcast.com to see what happened on the first two cruises.
I need to post those, too, on the Facebook
I think they're there, aren't they?
On the Facebook page. They're on the
Facebook page. Put them on the Facebook page. Yep.
Yeah. They'll probably already be up there by the time this comes out.
That's it. What do you mean? We're doing this for... I got up early on Wednesday morning.
Live at all. Exactly. We never record ahead of time.
I get up so early to put this out before everybody gets up so they can go to work with it. Anyway, do join us over there. It's going to be lots of fun talking, you know, because we're getting down to, you know, it's crunch time, people. We're going to be cruising before you know it. We want to have a lot of, you know, we want people to meet each other before. So when you arrive at the port, it's like your old friends, you know, so
yes.
It'll be fun. Sure. All right. Don't forget to follow us on the social media. We're on Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. We have Magical Mouse Radio to get you in the mood for your next Disney vacation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've added some new tracks. We're trying to keep it fresh over there and make it your number one destination for Walt Disney World audio. So check it out today, MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. Thank you again for downloading the show. Hope you enjoyed it. And of course, keep them coming. Send your questions and comments to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. You'll hear it right away here on a Wednesday episode. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a tremendous midweek. Stay safe and keep working hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.